Okay, we're looking in the book of Psalms and looking at the first psalm. This is a blessed psalm. It's very fitting that the book of Psalms begins with it. And Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now we know that in the book of Matthew, as we mentioned or alluded to last week, that there is in the Sermon on the Mount, as it is commonly known, a grouping of teachings that are called the Beatitudes. And that simply means the blessings, those who are blessed. And this particular psalm begins here, "Blessed is the man." Now, there's a twofold consideration that we see there about the blessing. Now, we all know what a blessing is. A blessing is something that is considered to be beneficial. Now, all blessings don't appear to be blessings to start with. Sometimes blessings that are actual blessings seem to us at the time to be a terrible thing. But then later we find out, well, wait a minute, that was the best thing that could possibly happen. Now, that is the place that the children of God, by the grace of God, find themselves. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And so the blessing of God upon the children of God is not conditional. God doesn't bestow His blessings on men because they do things. He bestows His blessing on them, and they do things because of the blessing. Now, when a man prays, he does not pray and then God says, "Well, here's a man that's praying, I'm going to bless him." No, if a man's truly praying, that is a blessing from God. Because, you see, a man by himself will not pray. Now, every man will pray, and of course, if you've been reading the Grace Gazettes lately, I've had two different ones. One was on prayer, and the one this week is on praying. And if I get nothing else across, it would be, I hope, that we understand that praying is not in order to get something, but praying is the work of God in men that causes them to exercise faith. Because apart from the work of the Spirit of God in men, they won't pray. And men will, there is something that I would call natural prayer. Every man that gets in a bind will pray. Now, a lot of people think that that's evidence of something spiritual. There's no evidence of anything spiritual because a man, when he gets in a bind, prays. When bombs are falling around him in a foxhole, and he says, "Oh, God, help me." I mean, There's nothing spiritual about that. Now, God may use that. He may use that in a spiritual manner, but that in itself is not any indication of anything, because all men will do that. And actually, that will bear evidence against them in the day of judgment, when the Lord says, "You knew that I was the great and mighty God. You knew that I alone could help you. But yet, you did not walk in my way. You despised my son. You turned aside from those things that I taught you." Because you see, the Lord does teach men things. I mean, you can't go through this world and not be taught these things. And you can't go through this world and not be taught that there is a God who rules and reigns in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Now, it is a true thing that men do not acknowledge it. And they will not acknowledge it apart from the grace of God. But it is the blessing of God that he speaks about here, the blessing of God to men. Blessed is that man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, there's a progression here that we can see concerning there's various stages here. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now, the counsel of the ungodly is the teaching of men. And that man who can see that there is a way which seemeth right to men, but the end thereof are the ways of death, that man is blessed. Because most people, all people by nature, will go contrary to that way which is the right way, and will pay heed to that which sounds right to men. There is a way that seemeth right to men. And that is the counsel of the ungodly. Because you see, anything that is contrary to the truth of God as it is revealed in Jesus Christ is the counsel of the ungodly. Because anything that will turn God's people's eyes away from the centrality of Christ and the work of Christ and the finality of that which Christ has performed in the behalf of his people, that is ungodly counsel. It cannot be approved by the people of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That is, he's not listening to it. He's not paying heed to it. That man is a blessed man. Now then he says, and we could say, blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners. Now, what is the way of sinners? The way of sinners is the way that all men are going by nature. You don't have to try to find the way of sinners. I mean, you don't have to look anywhere for it. Nobody ever has to tell you anything. You can be born on a desert island and never see another man in your whole life, and you won't ever have to wonder what the way of sin is, because that's the way you're going. See, some people have this idea that, well, if you could just take a blank canvas, take man as a blank canvas. He's not a blank canvas. See, man is not a blank canvas. A baby is not a blank canvas. A baby is a descendant of Adam. And coursing through that baby's veins are the very seeds of sin. Now, if you have children, you'll understand it. You'll see it pretty quick. And it'll remind you of your own sin. Because that's just the way that it is. But blessed is the man that does stand in the way of sinners. That is, he doesn't look at that and openly approve of it and say, well, that's the better way. Now, who are sinners? You got it. Now, everybody is... We can't escape being sinners. But what's he talking about here? I mean, on the one hand, every one of us is standing in the way of sinners. We can't help it. But what he's talking about is there is a way, that is, there is a highway, there is a pathway, there is a direction that leads away from the things of God. And that is the way of sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. He didn't deny that he was a sinner, but he said, I hate the evil way. He said that the good that I want to do, I don't find myself doing. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners. Because you see, those who are in Christ do not stand in the way of sinners, because the way of sinners is to destruction. And the children of God have been delivered from that. Blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners. Now, there is a lesson learned here. And there is a progression, like I said. Now, what he's saying here is, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And here's the admonition. You see, in every blessing there's an exhortation and there's an admonition unto the people of God. And we can't achieve these things through our own power, but we're exhorted unto them, because it is by that means that the Spirit of God directs our way. And so here he said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't listen to the wicked. We're not to listen to the wicked. We exhort one another, don't listen to the wicked. Don't listen to the way of the ungodly. Don't listen to the counsel of it. And then he says, don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't get out there with them. Now, how can you avoid it? You can't. So you see what, but the thing is that we can do is recognize. Now you see, here's the place that the man who is without the grace of God is, he doesn't even see these things. He doesn't see what you see if you're born again by the Spirit of God. The Scripture says the simple pass on and are punished. I mean, the way of the world to them is just the way it is. I mean, what's wrong with that? Now, the sad thing is that many who lay claim to believing the truth of God listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I didn't say they weren't the children of God. The Lord said this. Now, listen to me. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, who are the scornful? They're those that say, look, religion is, it's okay. It's okay for you. But, you know, I don't need it. It's okay. The way of Christ, well, you know, you can believe that if you want to. See, the scornful are those who put questions in the minds of men against the way of God. Now, you know, if you got any of you that's ever had a garden, when you plant a garden, if you don't do anything to it, you'll come back in about a month and you won't know that you planted anything, but there'll be stuff growing, won't there? Because most of the stuff is in your garden you never planted. I mean, the percentage of the stuff that you plant in your garden is very small, is it not? If you don't tend the garden, what happens? All that other stuff grows up there. So a person doesn't have to do anything to have a good crop of weeds. I mean, you can be... See, there's no talent in farming weeds, because anybody can grow a good crop of weeds. He says here, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That is, he doesn't think weeds are a good thing. Nor does he think that weeds are an insignificant thing. See, that's usually the way, that's the prevailing notion of today. Oh, it's no big thing. I mean, can't you see this progression? Now, there are a lot there are many sins that men commit that are as bad as what I'm fixing to talk about here. And don't ever think that because you refrain from this, that puts you one notch up higher, because it doesn't. But just think about for a moment, in light of what he's saying here, the concepts that people have of homosexuality, as it is more politically correct, or even alternative lifestyle. Now, for a moment. The counsel of the ungodly, it starts off with, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And then, the way of sinners becomes a prominent thing. And then, ultimately, the scorners take over. Because now, you see, we've gone in my lifetime from something that could not even be mentioned without shame is now considered to be completely fine, to the point that everybody ought to not ever say anything about it. Why, it's just normal. And so the scorners have taken over. Not only do they speak against the way of God, or not only do they go contrary to the way of God, but they scorn the way of God. Now, you know, we're not called to go on a witch hunt out here to try to find these people who have this alternative lifestyle and put them to death or something. We're not called to do that. I mean, the Lord's able to take care of all that. He's able to do what He wills with that. But, dear brethren, we've got to be true to what the Word of God says and not stand with the scorners who say, well, it's fine. It's an alternative lifestyle. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's an ungodly fashion that men would walk that openly spits in the face of the order of God. Now, we're not going to go out here and have a crusade against that, because we'd just as soon have a crusade against adultery, fornication, or any sort of other sexual impurity if we're going to have a crusade, because it's all lumped into one thing. But we're not going to stand around and say with the scorners and say it's fine, because it's not fine according to the Word of God. You see, none of these things are approved of God. It doesn't make a difference how approved men may be of them. That's immaterial. Blessed is the man that doesn't, or that sees that. Because you see, a lot of people are being swept up today to the point that maybe it is okay. No, it's not okay. It's no more okay than for a man to take another man's wife. It's no more okay than for people to be together like rabbits or something out here. That's not okay. God's Word says it's not okay. It'll never be okay. And so we're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. I hope that you're not. Blessed is the man that's delivered from that, from standing with the scorners. But what does it say? But his delight's in the law of the Lord. Now, you know, there's one fashion in which, when the law of God is mentioned, we merely hang our heads in shame and say, oh, woe is me. I mean, on the one hand, we could say we don't delight in the law. We sang a song a moment ago that said we didn't delight in the law. We delighted in the gospel. But yet the psalm says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Because we do recognize, you see, here's where our delight in the law is, that we recognize that it's true. We recognize that it's right. See, there's nothing in the law that a man can accuse God of doing wrong. But that's what the scorners do. So they say, well, God shouldn't have said that. It shouldn't be wrong to steal something if I want to steal it. Now, everybody knows that it is when somebody steals something from them. They always know that. See, you don't have to tell a man it's wrong to steal. Just go steal something from him, and he'll tell you himself you shouldn't have done that. Because the law is written in the hearts of men, and it accuses them before God. Men will stand before God one day, and the law of God will accuse them if they're outside of Christ. But his delight's in the law of the Lord. The way of God. The truth of God. The things of God. Those are the things that he delights in. That's the way that he knows is right. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He's not with the scorners. He's not with the ungodly, the counsel of the ungodly. But that man is blessed in his word and in his deed. Why? Because God in his great grace has given him an understanding of what the law is and has shown him his inability to keep the law. And so we delight in the law for this reason, because it is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Dear brethren, we should thank God every day that he gave a law that convicted our hearts and condemned us before Almighty God, so that we knew we were sinners. Because without the law is no knowledge of sin, dear brother. But the Lord, in his mercy, has given the law both as a means of justice that would stand as a testimony in the day of judgment against all who despise it. But it is given to for the purpose of causing God's people to see what they are by nature. You see, every time you read the law, it shows you what you are if you're blessed of God. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. It's not just something that he thinks about religiously, or ever so often he pauses, he hears somebody read it, or he passes by the courthouse and reads it on the monument out front, and he says, yep, there's the Ten Commandments. I believe that, buddy. Anybody don't believe that, buddy, he's going to hell. Yes, sir, we live by the Ten Commandments. Yes, sir, buddy, we're upright folks. Oh, what ignorance. Dear brethren, no man lives by the Ten Commandments. You die by the Ten Commandments. But you fall down and worship God because you know his law is just and holy and good, and not one jot and tittle of it shall ever pass away. But Christ came to fulfill that law. And in it we delight, and we meditate in it. We think of the way of God. We know the way of God is true. Now, the world doesn't know it. The world thinks it can be modified. The world thinks that, well, you know, as time goes on, we have better understanding. I'm telling you, even some of these high-powered Bible preachers and teachers today, they're coming around to start talking about the changing and modifying of the law in some ways. Well, we've got better understanding of things now. Well, do we now? I mean, the Scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. I don't think there's anything that men are ever going to do but sort of improve what God's already said. In his law shall he meditate day and night. Oh, and listen to this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. there's always vegetation along beside rivers, unless it's an industrial river. Now, if you go to the Finn Holloway River, and of course, I think they've kind of cleaned it up a little bit, at least part of it, over in near Perry. At one time, there wasn't anything growing alongside that river. There wasn't anything alive in that river. Why? Because men had dumped all kind of chemicals and whatnot in it and just killed it. But when the river of life is flowing and a tree's roots are tapped into that, that's what he's saying here. When he shall be like a tree which is planted by the rivers of water, that is that water that flows out from Christ, and that tree is going to flourish. It can't help but flourish. You see, the Lord causes His trees to be planted alongside this river that they might receive the nourishment and the water to grow. Because why? Because they're blessed. They're blessed. What'd they do to get it? Well, buddy, I caused my acorn to fall over there right by the river. No, why did your acorn fall by the river when there's 100 acorns that blew out into the desert and never sprouted up? Why? Because of the grace of God. You see, He plants His trees by the river. Well, they don't just spring up on their own. He puts them exactly where He wants them to be. And they bring forth His fruit in His season. You see, the Lord causes His trees to bear the fruit that He would have them to bear. Now, all of the trees along the river don't have the same fruit on them. You know, you got some willow trees, and you got some oak trees, and you got all kinds of trees. You got some cypress trees, and they're all different, but they're all drawing water from the same source, and they're all having their own fruit in the season. They all have it at the same time. Now the Lord said for us to be out in season and out of season. And it's not always the season of harvest. Sometimes it's the season of planting. And what do you have to do when you plant? You have to break up and file the ground. And it's not always comfortable. But you see, in the season which the Lord designs is when the fruit tree is bare. And so you can't look at a man today and say, well, I don't know about him. No, I tell you, if he's planted by the rivers of water in his season, in the proper time when God is pleased, He'll cause him to bear fruit. And what's that? His leaf shall not wither. Why won't it wither? Because he's got plenty of water. Now, you know, when you got a garden and it's out here and you can take a garden with some corn in it, and you can go out there and the corn will look like the leaves are no bigger than your little finger. And you can go and turn the sprinkler on, and in just a little while when that water starts coming in there and that goes up into that plant, those leaves will be out there. It's almost like the color of it changes in just a few minutes, really. Because of what? Because of the water. And you see, that's the blessing of the saints of God, is the water, the source of the water. It's not the root of the tree, but it's the source of the water. His leaf shall not wither. Why? Because of the fact that he has water that springs up into eternal life. And the people of God shall never perish. The Lord said, and they be plucked out of His hand, they shall continue because He is their source, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Wow, that's a nice thought, isn't it? Now, if you think of that in the terms of the prosperity-oriented preacher, today who tell everybody, oh, you know, everything's going to be great. Something good's going to happen to you. You just got to sow the seed of faith and all that kind of stuff. You know, especially send me some money because I need it. And the Lord's going to go out of business if you don't help us out here. I mean, that's the normal thing. And when they talk about prospering, they're talking about something you can see. Dear brethren, God's people prosper when it's not visible to you. In fact, you might look at a guy and say, he's withering away.